Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello again, you guys. if y'all were watching a second earlier, I was about to dive into the study and the hubby totally startled me from coming home early. He was supposed to work today. So I was in the living area doing the study and it just caught me off guard and startled me because we kind of to get to our front door, I guess it's actually our back door. You have to like go anyway. Hardly anybody comes, like, knows the little area, the little walkway. And so I saw somebody walking and it like my heart went in my stomach and I was like, who is in basically our backyard? But it was the hubby. Thank God he didn't have to work today. So I am now in my messy office doing the study. I normally love doing the study for my office, but with all the boxes and stuff, like, I love our little divider back there. And so that's why when he's not home, I do it in there. So that way I can have a nice background. But today y'all are going to have to deal with my boxes because he's home now. He's actually making us brunch. So kudos to him and yay for me that he gets to be home and make me some brunch. So he's amazing. But anyway, so let's just dive in. I don't think I had gotten very far into the study when my heart went into my stomach, in the pit of my stomach. And I think basically I was just kind of asking what y'all did this weekend, the little, you know, before small talk. Just let me know what you did this weekend. I am having some orange juice. And I think that's about it, you guys. I'm sure I probably went on a tangent about my weekend or something. Who knows? But you probably did not miss anything if you didn't catch the first part of this Advent study. So let's just dive in. Today we are talking about day 11, ask, don't demand. Today's reading, Luke 11. Other passages to ponder. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Proverbs 22:4. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. James 4:3. God is not a genie in a bottle, and your wish is not his command. His command better be your wish. Until his sovereign will becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power supply. Mark Batterson. Jesus had an active prayer life. Imagine what it was like for the disciples to watch Jesus slip away to get alone with the Father. They no doubt also witnessed moments of impromptu prayer when Jesus got quiet, looked up, and whispered a prayer for guidance. They walked with him day in and day out and saw firsthand what an intimate, thriving walk with the Almighty God looks like. Imagine Jesus in a secluded place on his knees, hands open, eyes upward. Picture his countenance as the Father imparts wisdom, direction, and affection. The corner of Jesus's lips turn upward as he returns the praise back to his Abba. Just then, he hears sandals shuffling in the dirt and finds one of his disciples approaching him slowly, watching him intently. The disciple steps closer and says, "Lord, teach me, teach us how to pray as you pray." Together they walk back toward the others, and Jesus unveils the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, holy, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." Jesus taught them how to give God all the honor and glory. Jesus taught them how to give God all the honor and glory he deserves, how to stay present in the moment with their ever-present Father and trust him for all they would ever need, how to forgive as they'd been forgiven. Then Jesus took the lesson of prayer to uncharted territory for the disciples. He told the story about a man who late at night asked a friend for some bread because of an unexpected house guest. The man refused to be inconvenienced at such a late hour. Here's what Jesus said. "But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you asked for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Luke 11:8-10. Phillips Brooks, the great 19th century preacher, said, "Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold upon God's willingness." Jesus had an active prayer life. He wants us to have an active prayer life. Scripture tells us time and time again, don't hold back, pray. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and don't forget to thank him for what he's done. If you do this, you will experience a peace that will flood your soul and guard your heart and mind as you trust in him. So go ahead, ask for provision, seek his wisdom, knock on the doors of heaven. They're bursting with divine supply. God wants you to want his influence. But interestingly, note that Jesus invites us to ask for what we need. And then he promises to give us more of the Holy Spirit. What? When we have physical needs, don't they require a physical answer? Well, yes. And God is so good to answer our physical needs with physical answers. But he wants us to value a deeper treasure that we've inherited because we are in him. When God gives us more of the Holy Spirit to meet our need, it may look something like this. You ask for money to pay your bills, and not only does the Holy Spirit nudge someone to send you a gift, he gives you wisdom about next steps you might need to take. You ask God to loosen up your schedule so that you won't feel so stressed, and the Holy Spirit drops divine wisdom into your heart about necessary adjustments and future commitments. You ask God to change a difficult family member, preferably before your Christmas gathering, and instead, he changes you. He offers you a fresh perspective on places within you that still need healing. He helps you not to take things personally. Then he offers insight into the brokenness in your family member, and he stirs up compassion in you. What a gift. A little later in Luke 11, Jesus warns against unbelief. People pressed, asked for a sign to prove that he is who he says he is. Earlier, he invited his disciples to ask and keep asking, to seek and keep seeking. Yet here in this moment, Jesus didn't appreciate that people asked for a sign. The fact that Jesus invites his followers to ask and keep asking, but then confronts bystanders for asking, begs us to scoot in a little closer and seek to understand. Let's go back to the disciple who watched Jesus pray. Picture him there with open hands and wide-eyed wonder when suddenly a host of questions spills from his lips. "Lord, teach me to pray like that, that calmness in your eyes. Do you never feel fear? How come when you pray for healing, it happens every time? But not for us. What are we missing?" Now, picture a suspicious, hard-hearted, legalistic bystander among the crowd of curious hearts. He spews, "I'll believe it when I see it. Prove that you are who you say you are, and I'll get back to you on my decision. I'm not easily fooled." Though Jesus deeply loves the hard-hearted legalist, He saved and radically transformed Paul. He distances himself from the proud and draws near and gives grace to the humble. Asking for wisdom and demanding a sign are two very different things. We are all a pile of contradictions, especially at Christmas time. We're grateful and then we're grumpy. We're glad and then we're mad. One minute we're all about the festivities and the next moment we're counting the days until it's all over. When you watch those Christmas movies portraying a rich, spoiled, demanding child next to a poor, grateful, receptive child, who do you root for? Perhaps this is why Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So what can we learn from Jesus' insights on the difference between asking and demanding? Jesus asks you to trust him and believe what he says about himself. Everything about our Christian life flows from the reality of who he truly is. Everything about our faith is built on this foundational precept. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John 1:1-5. The more we trust that Jesus is who he says he is, the more we change from the inside out. We behave like children, and not in a good way. When we never mature out of an insistence that God prove himself time and time again by giving us what we want when we want it, he owes us nothing, has nothing to prove. He gave us everything, his life for ours. It's unfathomable. Yet Jesus invites us to approach him with wide-eyed wonder and ask that all of who he is would come in and change all of who we are. Christmas is all in the heart. The gospel is all in the heart. How we see Jesus in the depths of our hearts impacts how boldly we approach him and how audaciously we dare to ask him to do the impossible in our midst. We are on solid biblical ground to pray such bold prayers. Jesus said, "When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light." Prepare him room. Lord Jesus, I want everything you have for me. I repent of and reject any notion that I'm entitled to something I don't have at the moment. You give good gifts to your children. You withhold no good thing from us. If I don't have it yet, it's because it's not good for me yet. I trust you, Lord. I bow before you and honor you as my king. I open my hands and ask you to fill them. Whatever you want to entrust to me, Lord, I'll take it. Lead me on, gentle Savior. I'm yours. Amen. Look up. Fast from entitlement of any kind. Be patient with the checkout clerk. Leave a large tip, regardless of the service. Entrust your not yets to God and enjoy the life you have now. That is so perfect and so beautiful. And I think it's very fitting, obviously, for Christmas time, because I mean, how many times do we go through a Christmas? Like, what am I going to get for Christmas? What am I going to ask for Christmas? Or your children are asking things for Christmas, asking Santa for Christmas, you know, whatever. And so I think this is so perfect. And then outside of Christmas time, I mean, a lot of the women that are in this Facebook group or even listen to my YouTube channel or podcast, a lot of y'all were attracted to me through a few years ago when I was really sharing our miscarriage, our pregnancy loss journey. And a lot of y'all were able to relate to that and relate to that kind of loss. Some of you are dealing with infertility. And so with all of that being said, I think for you also, this is a good thing to remember, is to enjoy the life God has given you, to enjoy the blessings that you do have. And this goes with everything, not just women going through, you know, infertility or pregnancy loss, but any kind of loss or any kind of desire. If you're single wanting to get married, I mean, I got married later in life, and so I know what that's like also. Just, you know, the continuously like looking into families and saying, I want that, or looking at married couples and saying, I want that. I want to be married. I want to be a wife. And the wait was worth it, y'all. I could not even begin to think of or pray for a better husband than my husband. He was worth the wait. And so I think back on bozos that I dated, and I'm so thankful that that marriage never happened with them, or that I didn't run across the wrong guy at some point and marry him. You know, I'm so thankful that I had the Lord's protection over my dating life. And that's because I prayed for my spouse. I prayed to be a good wife. I know that my my sister was praying for me and my future spouse in my relationships, because she knew I kept dating wrong guys. I know that I had, you know, aunts and, you know, people praying for me. And so I know wholeheartedly that God was protecting me from the wrong marriage, because it was such a desire of my heart that I wanted a Christian, godly marriage so bad. And I truly believe that the Lord just protected me for so many years. And because of that protection, and because I was okay with His will being done in my life, I can't, like I said, I couldn't even think of or pray for my husband. I mean, a lot of the characteristics he has are the things I did pray for, but there is so much more above and beyond that, that the Lord has blessed me with. And so with that being said, I don't tell y'all that to boast or to make you feel bad if you are a single looking for, you know, waiting for your husband. But I tell you that to trust God with your dating life, to trust God with putting His hand on your future marriage and protecting you from the wrong men, because marriage is hard. Marriage is so hard. And so I want you, if you're single listening to this, I want you to wait for the best. I want you to wait for who God has chosen you for and who's chosen for you. So take heart, know that, trust in the Lord. And if you're somebody you're waiting for maybe a career, a job opening or something, again, it's the same lesson. Trust in the Lord. Know that He has your best interest at heart. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking, but ask Him to change you in the process. You know, even during, like in your fertility journey, if you're a woman, that's like, that's great. But I have been waiting to be a mom for years. I mean, I know women who waited to be a mom for 15 years before they finally had their baby. And what that woman did, what those women did is they, you know, if they're godly and they're seeking and chasing after the Lord, seek first the kingdom of God. If they're doing that, I mean, I've talked to so many of them, and what they did was they just leaned into God and they said, God, during this time of being childless, change me. Come in, be closer to me. Let me grow in you. Don't let this time go unused for your glory. Please change me from the inside out and work in me, and just continue to work in me to be the best mother I can be one day. You know, and you know, just pray to continue to ask and seek His will for you. I'm not going to by any means tell anybody whether it's your God's will or not for you to be married, not be married, to have a specific job or not have that job, or have children or not have children. That's between you and God. But what I do know that there are promises in the Bible. There are promises in the Bible for the childless mother, there, or the childless wife. There are promises in the Bible for each of us. And so lean in to God. Ask Him for guidance. Read your Bible. Don't become a Bible thumper. Y'all know how I feel about that. Don't become a Bible thumper. But recognize that the Bible as your guide. You know, seek answers in there. Look for answers. Pray about what you're reading and what you're going to read. and just really lean into him, whatever it is that you're waiting for, because a lot of people are in the waiting season. And honestly, if I'm honest, we all spend our life in the waiting season. I mean, I know people with 3 or 4 children who are just waiting for them to get out of the house, or just waiting for them to get out of toddler years and go to school. You know, I mean, we're always in the waiting season, and we're always looking at the other yard. The grass is always greener on the other side, right? But I want to encourage you this season to be happy where you are. Be happy in the season that you're in. Take heart and know that God is good. Take heart and know that He sees you, that He is with you, and He is preparing a way for you. Cling to His promises even while you're in the wait, and just know that He is with you and He knows what's best for you when it's best for you. And so, you know, if you're single, take that time to really embrace being single and enjoying that time that free time that you get to be with God, to serve, to go to church, to go on girls' trips or whatever. Because when you get married, a lot of that does stop. I mean, sure, you can still do it lightly, but when you get married and when you have children, a lot of that is secondary. You're not going to be going on girls' trips if you're a wife or a mom as many, maybe once in a blue moon. But I know for me, if I have a chance to go on a vacation, I'm going with my husband, period. you know, and vice versa, like you're, or not vice versa, but if you're a mom, you're going to want to take your kids on a vacation, not go with the girls to Vegas. You'd rather spend that money and time taking your family to Disneyland or whatever. And so, you know, just understand that, like, enjoy the season you're in. I mean, you know, Darren and I are in a season of no children. And so we embrace it, y'all. We embrace it. We take our little, you know, weekend trips to little towns and try to explore Texas, or, you know, we can just get up and go to a movie if we want, or go have a late night snack, or, you know, we like to go to the little Alamo, their little restaurant and bar area. We like to go in. We used to go and eat their fried pickles, but sadly they don't have those anymore. But you know, we have that freedom, and we've had the freedom to just really get to know each other as husband and wife. And I mean, and we embrace that, and we love marriage so much. Do we want kids? Absolutely. But more than anything, we just want to embrace the season God has us in and embrace the gifts that God has given us. And so, you know, if you're possibly, you know, waiting for another job to open up or another position to open up, great. That's okay. Keep waiting. Keep praising God in the hallway. But embrace where you are. Embrace the lessons He has for you, the growth He has for you where you are. Maybe you don't like the job that you're at, and you're like, but Crystal, I don't like the job I'm at. You don't understand. I do understand. I've been there. What you do is you take that, whatever lessons you have. Maybe you need to learn a little bit more patience. Maybe you need to learn, maybe God wants you to be the light in that dark office. And so just take whatever season you're in and embrace it. Say, Lord, whatever you have for me, it might seem messy. It might feel messy. It might look messy. It might look messy. But let me enjoy whatever you have. Let me continue to seek first the kingdom of God while I'm in this, but enjoy what I'm in. Excuse me, guys. Thought I was going to sneeze again. Okay, so I'm going to end there, and I hope y'all have a good rest of your Sunday. I don't know if y'all can tell, but I'm in my pajamas still. Yes, it's true. I'm in my pajamas still. I actually haven't done this in a long time. I work from home. I used to be real bad about staying in my pajamas all day, but I've gotten so much better, and I haven't just stayed in my pajamas all day. But yesterday we went and finished Christmas shopping for nieces and nephews, and had a little bit just kind of, you know, enjoyed the afternoon, went and had dinner or whatever. But then I just was like nauseous all day and all evening. And so I told my husband, today I'm just staying in my pajamas and going to have my ginger tea and try to not be nauseous. So I am in my pajamas. Our online church starts in an hour, so we'll enjoy church. I'm going to go enjoy the brunch that my husband has made us, and I will see y'all tomorrow. Bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.